Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Have you had a haircut?
No.
Oh.
I did wash my hair, though.
Oh, there you go. That'll
be
it.
Yeah, it's quite exciting. I thought this morning, no, you really should wash your hair, so I did.
Had you been squirted on by an ink? Squish? Had a squid squirted ink on you?
I have. And it actually comes as quite a shock because it comes out with a great force.
Brianna Shepherd.
Yeah.
Revealed that as a kid, her nickname was Squiddy.
Oh.
Because she was squirted on. She used to love squidding.
Yeah, when you pull them up, they're not happy.
Do you know when I wasn't happy?
Where what?
We were sailing out in the middle of nowhere and one of my dearest best mates on the whole planet, her bloke, is not always a fan of me.
Oh.
And we were on an island.
That makes it tricky when you're all on a boat together.
Well, we had a bit of a argument over how you should cook fish on an island, and he didn't like
your choice.
That I didn't listen to him.
Oh.
And he took off squidding and left us on the island.
He just abandoned you.
Hopefully he's not listening. I forgive you.
God.
I forgive you.
Jeez, anyway. That's a strong reaction there, I have to say, Joe.
So have you met me?
He deserves to be squidded, I reckon.
We've got calls coming in left, right and centre, Sabby. We do need to try and get to them. But I do have to tell you, Bob in Yanchep.
Ah, yes.
He says the cucumber trick didn't work for his fruit trees, but the slugs did.
Say thanks a million. Well, what you need to do now, Bob, if that didn't work, go the bread dough, but it has to be pre-cooked, the dough.
Brilliant.
With the yeast.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Peter.
Stuck in there.
Oh, Peter, you're in a lovely part of the world. G'day, Peter. What's happening with your orange tree?
I wanted to prune it, but it's got a lot of water shoots on it that have fruit on it. I'm just wondering if you need to cut them off.
Oh, you want to cut all your fruit off?
Yes.
Peter?
There's probably 200 or 300 oranges on the tree and I think it's just too...
Too many.
Too many.
You're right. You can thin out, Peter.
Do what? Cut the water shoot ones off or not?
Yeah, definitely. So how
real
big...
thorny ones.
Yeah. Those green thorny ones have to go.
Yeah.
Cut them right back to where they've come from.
Even though they got fruit on them.
Yes. You don't want any thorny growth.
No.
Yeah. So, yep.
Chop.
Hook into those, Peter.
Chop. Good luck with that, Peter. Maybe, I don't know, give the oranges, put them out somewhere and people will come and get them. Look at this magnificent passion fruit vine.
Look at the fruit on it. It's huge.
Tim is on the line because I think he wants to share his passion fruit success. G'day, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, how are you guys? You well today, I'm sure?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful sunny day and it was worthwhile freezing your toes off at 6:30 this morning. Your passion fruit's looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing is that so I built a raised garden bed out of pavers that I had left over from the build.
Yeah.
Mainly to keep out the kikuyu from the vacant block next door.
Right.
And so I put the passion fruit in about 4 or 5 years ago. I got from that lovely place out to Forestfield.
Yeah.
I got two purple and a golden one in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it's only the golden one that's actually flowering at the moment.
Right.
But until... So I've got the raised garden bed that has, you know, so it's getting more heat these days. But it didn't take off until I put a 90-degree mesh moving away from the fence.
Okay. Yeah, so and it's growing, it's now growing horizontally as well as vertically.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely gone crazy because I've heard how many people have problems with them.
Yeah.
And yeah, because there's, you know, there's good girth around there. I often look at that and think of the fun that you guys had with the Winter Olympics and certain Italian people that were using it to steer with.
Yes.
So maybe I put some some sort of nutrient on there that they've been using as well. But, yeah, no, I just wanted to put that out there.
We are giving you a collective round of applause, Tim.
Awesome.
There's Tim's round of applause. And so much fruit.
I know. And for people that have got passion fruit ripening now and they're not too sure whether it'll ripen or not, just pick it and bring it inside and it will ripen over about a week. There. So don't throw them out.
And also you can freeze if you have so much pulp, freeze it.
Freeze
Keep it for
yep.
later.
Yep.
Graham's in Carinup and I think a gum question. Graham, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina. My question is about the Sydney red gum.
Yeah.
Local council has planted some of these and I'm just wanting to know, how tall do they grow and do they have any good or bad habits?
The root system's not too bad. Now, there's about five things they call a Sydney red gum. So I'm wondering if it's the Angophora.
This one I think was called the Angus costata.
Oh, yeah, Angophora costata. It's a beautiful gum. So it has the most exquisite mottled bark, which goes sort of an orange colour, big umbels of white flower. We'll get to 12 metres.
It's now not just the most...
Yeah. Whoops. Yeah, it'll get to 12 metres high.
You've just given Graham a mild heart attack.
And about 5 metres wide.
You weren't prepared for that,
Why,
Graham.
Where is it, Graham?
I was prepared for that. Thank you, Sabrina.
Hopefully they've not put it in,
a small courtyard.
A small courtyard where they're beautiful trees.
It's on a verge, local verge.
Ah, oh, it'll be fine.
You're totally fine, Graham. Totally
and the root
fine.
System you, just goes straight down.
12 metres tall?
Yep. Yeah, it's a forest goodness. Tree. They're a New South Wales forest tree.
My goodness me. Okay, thanks, Sabrina.
There we go. You've blown.
My pleasure.
You have blown Graham's mind. Just talking gums. Mm. I mean, I just think this is the most spectacular time of year with all the flowering gums. The kids just are like, "Mum, stop it!" Driving around, I'm like, "Look at the gums! Look at the flowering gums!" Or we're walking somewhere. I'm like,
"I know,
look at the
they're
gums.
Stunning.
So
absolutely.
Beautiful."
And if you go close up with a magnifying glass, there are a gazillion insects in there.
So many bees. So many bees. Yep. Okay, let's have a chat to Neil. And I think Neil, you want to talk about a eucalypt, but in a different way. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We have had two gum trees cut down, and the wife wants to put some stuff on the top of them.
Yeah.
Now, they're about 18 inches across at the top.
Yeah.
And they're about 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
We want to know how to kill the roots in that on in case they get into the sewage system.
Okie dokie. Now, do you know any farmers, Neil? Do you know any farmers, Neil? Do you know any farmers?
Any?
Do you know any farmers? Are you mates with any farmers, Neil?
No, I haven't got any farmers.
Okay, all right. So the other option is you need to get a glass jar and you need to mix up 60-40 kerosene and blackberry and tree killer, okay? So you're going to mix that together in a glass jar and then with a paintbrush you are going to paint the stump on freshly wounded stump. So you may have to drill holes, you may need to get a file and go around the cambium layer, which is just inside the bark, the outside bark. You paint it and the kerosene draws the weed killer down into the stump and then it...
Bye-bye tree and stump.
It's good night, Irene.
Do you recommend, I'm not going to, actually I'm going to be discreet when I tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
Someone we know had a huge tree stump in their front garden.
Yep.
And they ended up burning it. It was the only way.
Oh, I love
it.
That.
And they did it at a very safe time of year, but it just smouldered and burnt away it felt like for a long time.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Oh, Bielo's here.
Setting fire to stuff, Bielo. I reckon he'd love to sit around a little stumped up fire. That's what we used to do back in the olden days. In fact, my father was an engineer and made bridges and dams and he used to bring home a stick of jelly and we just used to blow the stump up.
Literally talk to the bloke, the bloke who created Metam's Pool.
Yeah.
His grandson we had a chat to this week, last week, I don't know.
Yeah.
He traded beer bottles with the blokes who were building West Coast Highway for sticks of dynamite to blow up the rocks that created the Metam's Pool. There
That's amazing. You can't get hold of it now.
It's
like
probably a good idea. Savvy, we'll just... Probably quite a good idea. We'll leave that there. Now, poor Tracy has been waiting for a very long time. Now, Tracy, we apologise. We apologise.
Okay. That's fine.
We got slightly derailed there. How can we help? How can Savvy help?
Well, lovely to hear you ladies, and I love the show. First time ringing up the gardening section.
Oh, exciting.
I'm a garden virgin. So just letting you know, we've recently been lucky enough to get 7 acres on Lover's Lane in Morringup, which is a lovely little spot of the world. And there's lots of York gums, and we've had to clear a space for our shed house that we're going to build.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put lots of natural grasses back.
Hang on, are you building a commune? Are you building a commune, Tracy? Can I come? Is it only ladies? I don't want to come if there's blokes, only if it's ladies.
We've got about 40 piles of wood to burn. So we're going to have lots of bacchanals and crazy dance nights. So
sounds
you're most
great.
Welcome.
We're in.
Yep, Joe and I are there. We're there.
Awesome. Lovely.
So you want native grasses?
Yes, to replace what we've had to clear for the house, which is about, 2 acres of area for the bowel report. So we just wanted to... put something back in that was like native to the area.
Yeah.
So I just wondered about that.
So when you say grasses, do you mean tufty grasses, or do you mean like native lawn?
Well, yeah, sort of like a good ground cover. I mean, there's lots of wild oats when it grows, but there's no shrubs on the block. It's mostly York gums.
Right.
So
okay.
Just wondering what would work there. The soil's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So, now, there's two big – so what you need is you need all the re-veg stuff. There's two major re-veg places. If you stay on the line and Slim or Ebs takes you back, I will – because I can't give you the names of the nurseries.
Also, Deborah, you can have our numbers because we are absolutely – No. Am I talking
this
to Deborah
Tracy.
Or Tracy? Tracy, we want to come join the commune. I'm going to pop you back on hold and Ebs or Slim will get your details, and then Savvy will be able to help you out. Let's go back to the call, Sabrina. Deborah, I think, is in
– Coogee.
Coogee. Good afternoon, Deborah.
Hello, Deb.
Hello, Sabrina. Hi, Joe. I've sent through some photos. My mottle car's looking a bit, I don't know what.
Just locating it.
No, that's a Dianella.
Yeah.
It'll be these, yellow, the yellow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And some of the smaller ones have got like a reddish thing. And
the tinge all around the leaves.
The reddish tinge on the edge. Yeah. And now, Deb, because I know your gut, she has the most amazing native garden.
She says that. She says that to everyone.
Deb, I can say with authority, Savvy does not say that to everybody.
Now, Deb, when you see where mottle car grows, it's usually in heavier soil. And, of course, you've got the alkaline problem there.
Yeah.
And you've got the limestone rocks, which leach. If you did a run up into the wheat belt and got yourself a couple of buckets of their clay loam, it would help them. The problem is the limestone seeps up from the bottom, and then you've got, you've got the limestone rocks around, and I see it all the time on coastal areas where the mottle car just does not like that high alkaline soil. So even if you put trace elements on, Deb, I just think what will happen is if you can keep it alive for the next 2 years, the root system goes deeper down in the soil.
Oh, then it won't
profile.
Be impacted as much.
Yeah, but
it's 3 years, 3 years old, and when you're out, we decided to coppice it.
Yeah.
We've done that. But admittedly, that's the lower part of the property, and it gets quite damp. The one that I've got a bit higher up and on a mound, it never experiences that colour.
Yeah. So you've got a combination of really damp soil because they like it really hot and dry in summer.
Yeah.
And also where the nutrients flow down. So the alkalinity will be worse further down the block than up the top. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, Sabby doesn't sound hugely hopeful, really.
No. Tough love. I won't bother. You know, if it cuts it, I'll know why.
Yeah. But on it, you can try trace elements, Deb, but I.
Yeah, wouldn't bother. Yeah. I'll just love the one up higher.
Yeah.
And also, Sabrina, I've cut back all my kangaroo paws and repotted them and also my orchids.
Yeah.
Because those crickets, those bright yellow crickets were eating them, and I thought they'd moved on to greener pastures, but it looks like they've eaten every veggie I've potted because I'm redesigning the back garden. I just put everything in pots.
Oh, they're awful, aren't they? They're just awful, Deb.
They come in their bloody millions.
And they're huge.
Yeah. And initially I thought it was a rat because I saw a rat bouncing around the setting off the sensor lights. and then what I thought, well, it can't be a rat because the pots are quite high.
Yeah.
And I put an upturned baskets over them last night, and this morning they were just completely levelled.
Oh.
And then I saw the crickets, so I think it must be the crickets.
And unfortunately, the stuff that you would use to kill grasshoppers and locusts.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So,
seasonally, when will they bugger off?
Well, the temperatures are really dropping in the morning now, so I reckon they're only going to be around for another couple of weeks.
Okay, well, I'll wait and try another batch.
Good luck, Deb. Good luck. Now, Jenny, I've seen your message about the re-veg places and I will send them through to you.
Yep.
Lovely to hear from you, Jenny. Diane is in Mandurah. Another question about passion fruit. Hi, Diane.
Oh, hi, Sabrina. Hi, Joe. And I love the show.
Oh, good.
I apologise in advance for another passion fruit question because I know you get lots of them. I have a very healthy, prolific, it's like Day of the Triffids here.
Yeah.
Passion fruit vine. I bought it at the garden show 5 years ago, banana passion fruit, set flowers, beautiful, lots of pollen, lots of bees, no fruit.
Oh, but my goodness.
I do have pollen.
Oh, you have pollen. Okay. So not all is lost.
Oh, not all God. Is lost.
So if you have pollen, then you can flit with a little paintbrush from flower to flower. What I recommend people do now at the base of their passion fruits is they either plant rosemary or lavender because that really, really attracts a lot of different pollinators, including butterflies. So if you've got pollen, I would go and get some liquid potassium and spray the entire bush, the entire passion fruit with liquid potassium because that really helps with cell development. So potassium and magnesium, which you can get as Epsom salts.
Thank you. I've been sticking my fingers in the flowers to try and.
You need a paintbrush. Paintbrush.
I love your enthusiasm, though, Diane. That's wonderful.
No poking with your fingers, Diane.
Oh my goodness. Have fun with that, Diane. Just get some paintbrushes now, Sabby. It sounds like we are quickly populating. Who was having the commune? Was it Tracy?
Yeah, Tracy.
Tracy, you've got some more takers for the commune.
Oh,
Jenny's saying, by the way, I think that commune would be the perfect place for Sab, the big witch. So,
but bog witches would abound.
Absolutely, I reckon Amber would be in like a flash.
Absolutely.
Now, Brad has a not very happy avocado tree. Brad, I'm just going to find the photo. It looks...
Bit sad. Now, it's in a big black pot and by the look of it, it is overwatered and the water is not draining away from the root system. Oh.
Hang on, there's two. Now, is that two?
There's
Brad?
One in the ground as well, Brad. Is that correct?
It's the same tree. I took it out of the pot.
Right.
And put it in the ground.
Oh, and it wasn't very happy about that, was it?
How long ago did you take it out of the pot and put it in the ground? How long ago?
Probably about 2 months ago.
Okay. Now you've got shade clothes. Okay, so it was in a nice hothouse.
Correct.
And now it's in the ground, even though you've got a shade cloth around it to keep it nice and warm. Is it getting enough sun?
I don't know. I love listening to you, Jill, but I know nothing about gardening.
Is there something over the top of it? The pic you've sent to us with the tree in the ground, is there a shade cloth over the top or not?
There isn't, but there was.
Okay.
I put it there. I tried to keep it out of the wind. It's very windy up here.
No, so you have to have, like, when they're young, and particularly when they've come out of a nice, cozy, warm environment.
He wants a duvet over it.
It's like, yeah, it's like when you're wrapped in a duvet and then you take it out and you put it in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt and you plant it out. And it's just, it's a shock for it. So make sure it gets as much sun as possible. It's really important not to overwater it, Brad.
That's what I think I'd done.
Yeah, I reckon you have.
They want water. They want water, and
yeah, not at this time of the year. They don't.
Yeah, okay.
Is it resurrectable, Sabby?
Yeah. It's still there's life there. There's life.
There's life there. I don't need to dig it up and try again.
Oh God! If you do that, it'll be the demise of the plant entirely.
Yeah, I reckon, Brad. Just sing it songs, keep it warm, and don't put the shade cloth on the top. And then please report back, matey. Good luck. Hopefully, you'll be okay.
I think it'll be fine.
It is 10 to 3. Herb and Beth, we are coming to you now. Herb, what's happening with your orange tree?
Well, it's got fruit that are getting close to ripe, and at the same time a whole lot of flowers are coming onto it, and I want to put fruit fly net on there to stop the birds and the fruit fly.
Yes.
And so this overlap between flowering and fruiting, how can that be managed?
See, this is the trick, isn't it? Because with orange trees, when they finish fruiting, they start flowering straight away. So you've got a little gap there. So what you can do is you've got to wait for the fruit to be golf ball size, and then this is for your orange trees. You wait for them to be golf ball size, and then you cover with the net, because when the fruit's really small, it's really hard and the fruit fly can't
get penetrate.
That's the word I'm looking for. I was going to say put their sting in. But penetrate would cover that entire sentence. So that's when you do that. And what was the other tree?
What was the other issue, Herb?
Which tree?
Oh, well, I cover the trees with fruit fly net. Yeah. So that stops the bees from getting in to pollinate.
That's right. The best time to put your fruit fly net up is when you see the fruit developing. And if it's stone fruit, you have to do it as soon as the petals come off the flowers, basically. Because once the petals go, then the bees don't come anyway. So the earlier the better for fruit fly control.
There we go. Good luck with that, Herb. One more call to go, Sabby.
Yes, Beth.
Beth wants to propagate. Is it mandarin, Beth?
Yes. Hi, ladies. It's a mandarin tree that I put in a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Tomatoes grew around it, and you told me to take them out, and I didn't. But
I love that you're admitting it. I love your honesty, Beth. 10 points.
Yeah. So I think what's happened is I'm down to rootstock. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming anything that's prickly is rootstock.
Yep, it is.
And I have a friend who's got an awesome tree, and I'd like to propagate onto that rootstock. Is that possible?
Absolutely it is. Now
I'm going to have to Google all that.
Yeah.
But what time of year do I do it?
Okay, so the best time is from November onwards. So what you do with that, Beth, is you do what's called a bud graft.
Right.
So can you wait until then?
Yes. When did you say, September?
No, more November.
Right.
Yeah, October, yes, November. So you get a bud. So what I want you to do is in your Google search, Google bud grafting citrus.
Right.
It's really easy. And you're going to select the branch that you want to do the graft on, and then you have to take the other branches off. And where you do the graft, you cut above the graft because you don't want any growth above the graft, and then you take off all the competing branches.
I'm assuming you're doing it from the root itself.
Yeah, yeah, you graft onto the rootstock. Yes, indeed, you do. And, in fact, I'd do a few bud grafts because they
give
don't
yourself
always
more,
work.
Give yourself more...
Better chances.
Better chances. Mm. There you go. Happy propagation. I love it when people are propagating.
I know.
Savvy, I need to let you go, but very quickly, who was it that wanted to know what it looked like? Mike in Melville. What is Mike in Melville?
Your bulb are called Noreen.
Noreen. There you go,
yep.
Mike.
Yep.
Mike in Melville, that is what it is. Old Drags from Cloverdale says, Fountain of Knowledge, he's got a problem with his camellia tree, old and large, was big when they bought it, all was well.
Brown and dead. Okay, so prune off that, but I tell you, Drags, there's something happening at root zone level. Dig around, have a look at the roots, see if there's anything chewing the roots. Bye.
The roots. Thank you, Savvy.
My pleasure, darling.
We're
off to the commune.
Tracy, you should never have told us. Chat to you soon. Thanks, Savvy.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.